This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Two prophets walk into a Bible. In our Old Testament reading, this part of the story is happening 4 years after Nebuchadnezzar has taken all of the important people of Jerusalem and all of their riches to Babylon against their will. And no one is sure what will happen next, and there is much argument among the people, none of whom really carry any weight in society that is left, all of whom have clear opinions and ideas. One prophet, Jeremiah, is imparting doom, and the other, Hananiah, is reassuring the people that everything is going to be fine. He thinks the wealth and leadership will return imminently along with the gold. And yet Jeremiah promises years of disaster and even more loss. And my favorite podcast, Same Old Song, likens this story to a cage match between an Episcopalian and a megachurch pastor. I don't know about that, but I will say that I appreciate Jeremiah's clarity of sentiment when he ends this discussion with these words. When the word of the prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. In other words, time will tell. The one who is correct will be proven to be the prophet, and the other one will be proven false. There are so many things in this world just now that hang in the balance, aren't there? So many things that we have opinions about, so we can relate to this. There are things that we all feel we're right about, that we hear many prophet opinions about, things that time will indeed reveal the answer to. The future of our climate, for one, or the longevity of our public school system, for another. We all feel some kind of way about who we should align ourselves with globally and what the outcome of those alliances might mean. This is the same thing that was happening in ancient Jerusalem. Oddly, the same thing that's happening now. And throughout history, these sorts of tensions have arisen whenever people become outwardly and audibly certain about what they think will happen, who they feel we should believe, and what God really wants of us. And this is where we find ourselves in the Hebrew Bible today, waiting for the truth to be revealed, waiting to see who is right, Jeremiah or Hananiah. What will happen? Will it be repair or complete destruction of Jerusalem as they know it? And I'm just going to cut to the chase. You're welcome. Peace did not come to them right away. The prophets who prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms were indeed correct. Jeremiah was correct. And here's why this is important. Because God doesn't heal through denial. And grace doesn't pretend that everything is fine. This is a hot take of one of our Episcopal colleagues in New York, Jacob Smith, and I'm grateful for it because these words anchor the reading in our here and now right where we need it. Who knows what will happen for us with our deeply troubling issues today? Do you know? I don't know. I have lots of opinions. I'm not sure they're right at all. There is war, there is famine and pestilence in our midst. Right now, today, it is happening. Children are hungry right here in this country. There is disease unchecked in DRC and Uganda, and there is war, well, everywhere. And let us not pretend that everything is fine. Grace does not pretend that everything is fine, and neither should we. And God doesn't heal through denial. So let us stop denying ourselves and one another the love that God gave so freely to us. Now, Christianity is a long game, as is life for most of us, and all will be well in the end, but between now and the end, a lot will happen. In the end, there will be peace, but between now and then, there is a lot of reality to deal with, isn't there? And as I tell my children, well, and all of our children, to be clear, what happens to us isn't nearly as important as what we do about it. When we are faced with scarcity of resources or pandemic or abject loss, what will we do? How we respond to our current circumstances is what we need to dig into. That is what Jeremiah is offering us, the idea of tension as fact and the inspiration to move forward anyway. Tell the truth, accept the circumstances, and then get to work. Get to work doing what, you ask? Thankfully, the gospel tells us. This passage today doesn't need a lot of context except to say that Jesus has just named his 12 disciples, and in this farewell discourse, he is giving them instructions for how to continue their work. And at the same time, he is speaking to the people they've been ministering to as they have weathered some tough exchanges and disagreements about what is right and who is God and how to follow Christ, or even if they should follow Christ. And I can imagine it was really hard to know who to believe just then, as it is now. Jesus says clearly in this gospel passage, whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. He is talking about the vulnerable. In this case, he's talking about the disciples. They are vulnerable because he has asked them to go out with nothing, with no provisions, and they have already faced animosity as they have traveled about offering peace. They have faced hatred as they heal people and performed exorcisms and taught the world the word to those they encountered. Like children, they are dependent upon others for food and for shelter and for water. Unlike a righteous person or a prophet, children have not made up their minds or fashioned their lives. They are still open to exploring and to learning. They sit among us sometimes loudly, always needing help and support, sometimes bristling under our guidance, and always listening to wisdom and love. You cannot go wrong by welcoming a child. That is what Jesus is saying. Even in the midst of all that is wrong with the world, the vulnerable will laugh. Embrace them. In the midst of the Eucharistic prayer, children sometimes will fight for justice in the pews. Let that inspire you. Yesterday, I heard a child in the midst of abject grief speak with clarity about God and heaven, and I will never forget it. Imagine if we honored this kind of vulnerability and protected it rather than exploiting it. Imagine if we honored it rather than humiliating it. God doesn't heal through denial. So let us not deny the vulnerable. Grace doesn't pretend everything is fine. So let us not do that either. Today I offer you a challenge that echoes Jesus' same challenge. Give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple. Do not shy away from those who do not seem to know what the prophets and the righteous ones confidently profess. Instead, seek them out and listen to them. Love them and care for them and spend time with them. Along with the innocent, look for the people and places for whom everything is not fine, and seek to provide grace and mercy there. That is where true healing will happen, and not just for those to whom you bring cold water, but for you as well, because your reward in heaven is assured by the grace and salvation that God has given you in the moments that you share yourself with others. And I would hasten to add that you will be rewarded not just in heaven, but also right here and now for the love that you pour out. And remember that the world expects God to appear in strength with spectacles like fire or a booming voice demonstrating God's power and might. But that is not our teaching as Christians. Christ came as a sheep among wolves. His strength was in the vulnerability and love that he offered in the face of the power and might that destroyed him. The very same power and might that was demanded of him. And with the strength of his vulnerability, he allowed himself to be crucified and entered into life eternal so that we could enjoy the same eternal life. Therefore, do not worship the powerful, but instead seek the earnest. Do not value strength, but instead notice and care for the tender, for in them you will find grace and good care. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.